lifted above all other gods. We lay our crown and worship you. Oh, be lifted above all other gods. We lay our crown and worship you. Oh, be lifted. Oh, be lifted.
I'm not. Worship him, worship him. Break a satania. Makra basata. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Who is like unto thee? Oh, Lord. Who is like unto thee?
Your fearful, he praises. Thank you.
Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Amen. Welcome to the month of August. Hallelujah. It's a good time and a good day to start the month. Hallelujah. The first of the month is School of Miracles Day. And in fact, it's just related with God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when Sister Remy was praying, I was talking about the tuber of yam. I don't know what it costs to. They are the ones that go to the market. I know what it costs. But what we surely know is that no matter the economy of the jungle, the lion will not eat grass. Hallelujah. Amen. No matter the economy of the jungle, that means the Lord God will always provide. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we enter from one phase to another phase, and that's not to be selfish. Amen. These seasons will come, times will come. But the Bible says, those that know their God, they'll be strong. I think that's in Daniel 11:32. Those that know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. Hallelujah. Amen. And what gives them the strength? Because of the knowledge of God that they have. It's those that know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. Irrespective. Hallelujah. It takes only one man to cause a change in the affairs of the whole world. Okay? Just one man. So if one man has an idea, and he sits with that idea, he can change the course of the entire world. Amen. So whoever started COVID-19, it was one man that started whatever brought COVID-19. Hallelujah. And he changed the entire course of the world. And he has changed it up to today. Amen. You know, in the afternoon, we were thinking, should we come, should we not come, or should we postpone, or should we... I said, if we do online, there's no internet to do online service. Hallelujah. So we could come to church and enjoy ourselves in the presence of God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, where two or three are gathered, there he is in their midst. Amen. It says, those who do wickedly against the covenant shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and they shall carry out great exploits. Hallelujah. Great exploits. Hallelujah. Those that know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. In the Lord God that does wondrous things, He alone does wondrous things. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you go from abyss to abound in the twinkle of an eye, it has to be God in the midst of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So when there suddenly looks like everything, there is lack. And suddenly there is more than enough. It has to be God. Amen. And that is for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This evening, I came to just have a chat with us. The Holy Spirit and power. Hallelujah. Amen. In the Holy Spirit and power. Hallelujah. Without the Holy Spirit, there will not be power. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's quickly open our Bibles. Quickly, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I read verses 4 and 5. It says, 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. He says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Hallelujah. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power
of God.
Hallelujah.
So he's saying that his speech and his preaching were not anything about persuasive words of human wisdom. So you know, a lot of people, they weave words together. And it sounds really great, okay, when they weave words together. But he's saying that's not what is going to persuade you. And that's not what will bring about the result. He says, and they weave words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the spirit and of power, that your faith shall not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith shall be in the power of God. And I'm sure you understand when he says your faith is in the wisdom of men. When you say your faith is, so when you think you need something, all right, and you ask God, and then you think, oh, Mr. Sajedi can do this thing. And then you put your faith in the wisdom of men. Now, once you go to him, he'll be able to tell you how to do it. He says, no, it shouldn't be in the wisdom of men, but it should be in the power of God. Hallelujah. Then Mark chapter 11. I'm going to read 22 to 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Amen. He said, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So you put a Bible mark in Mark 11, put a mark in Mark 11, 22 to 24. Because what he's saying is that you have to have that boldness to be able to see that mountain and speak to that mountain. You know, sometimes when you see, have you been in the wilderness before? Have you been in the wilderness before or in the forest? There was a time I wanted to buy a parcel of land. I took my family to the place in Ibadan, and it was just forest. And we were going over, you know, all those twigs. As you know, when you read, I hope you read novels. I hope you're not like me. How we read novels. When you read those novels and they describe that they were walking in the forest and they were twigs and we were just seeing all those things. And they were like, why are we going to buy this? I said, this is where everything you see, everything stems from. So once you buy this and you clear everything, it looks like, oh, this place is lovely. But this is where it stems from. So for you, when you are in that place that looks like in the middle of nowhere and you need to make decisions, you have to be bold. Hallelujah. And that boldness does not come without the presence of the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you are in certain situations and it looks like everything is bleak, you need to be able to reach out on the inside of you where the Holy Spirit resides. Amen. Reach deep. Hallelujah. And launch out and be able to stand bold. And that's why I said, put your bookmarks in Mark 11, 22, 24. We'll come back here. Amen. In Luke chapter 5. Verse 17. It says, now it happened. On a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. What was he doing? He was preaching. What was he preaching? The word of God. Hallelujah. And Christ says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And then he said he was preaching. He was preaching the word. And the power of God was present to you. Hallelujah. Because that word, that act of preaching, was not done. It was is when you are preaching, you are witnessing. Hallelujah. Amen. You are witnessing. You are telling people about Christ. That's what it is. When you are preaching, you are telling people about Christ. So if somebody is talking to you and say, guys, stop preaching. He's telling you about something that you don't want to hear. That's why stop preaching. I mean, stop preaching to me. And because he's telling you, I'm telling you. But he's preaching, and he's preaching. He said he's preaching, and then the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Amen. But you see, the fact that he was preaching was because of a certain encounter, okay, with the Holy Spirit. So that preaching was not without the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the power of God was present to heal them. Amen. Because the Spirit and the power, they move together. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's just like when... So Luke 5:17 is also an important one that we need to mark. Okay? We'll go to Acts, the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 7. Okay, let me take it from 4, but I'm going to 7 and 8. Let me take it from 4 so that there will be context. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. So he's telling them that, look, you will receive power only on one condition. And that condition is when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Amen. And then you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of what? Of the earth. Amen. So the power, okay, that they receive is going to cause enablement for them to be witnesses. Hallelujah. Amen. For them to be witnesses. So who is a witness? Someone that we can testify that, okay, this is a certain situation and I was there. So sometimes it says an eyewitness, and then sometimes you just say somebody that was there when something was happening. Amen. And it says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So there is no demonstration of power without the presence of the Holy Spirit. So every time you read and see that there is a demonstration of power, it's because the Holy Spirit was present. Amen. He moves with power. Amen. He moves with enablement. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he causes there to be on the inside a witness. He says, and then you will be and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. So when Peter was found preaching, he was witnessing. Hallelujah. And that witnessing, you now understand that he didn't come by the virtue of the fact that he wanted to just minister. He came by an enablement of the Holy Spirit. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was able to minister. The same Peter that ran away or that denied him before the cock crowed 3 times. Abi? And I say, I don't know him. And then he's able to stand in the courts and began to narrate from the birth of the boy Jesus, even up to the crucifixion, without fear. Hallelujah. It has to be that there has been an encounter. And that's what I'm saying to you this evening. It has to be an encounter with the Holy Spirit for you to be that bold to speak to a mountain. Amen. None of these things happen by chance. Amen. So we have faith in God. We believe in Him. Hallelujah. And Mark 11 says, you'll be able to say to this mountain, hallelujah. But by the time you have faith and belief, hallelujah, the presence of the Holy Spirit is not in doubt. What are you believing in? You're believing in Christ, hallelujah. You are believing in the resurrected Christ, the one that was crucified and resurrected, hallelujah. That's what you are believing in. That's the power of the resurrection that we are believing in, hallelujah. And that's one that the demonstration of power that comes into the play. So when you're going to speak to anything, that means you are that bold to be able to know that when you say it, it will come to pass. Amen. In Ephesians 5:18, I will read the NKJV and then I'll read the New Living Translation. Ephesians 5:17 to 18 says, redeeming the time. Amen. Redeeming the time. Hallelujah. Redeeming the time. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the days are evil. Hallelujah. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, let's go to the New Living Translation and understand better. It says, do not act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you know what wine does, or if you've encountered wine before, okay, wine is basically alcoholic. And the funny thing is that wine comes from fruits. So if you study how wine is made, you gather grapes, extract the juice, and you ferment it. And then you have alcohol. Ordinarily, if you take the grapes, you're fine because it's not fermented. Okay? But once it's turned into wine and it's fermented, it becomes alcoholic. Okay? Now he's saying do not be drunk with wine because it will ruin your life. Because you will do things that ordinarily you cannot do or you will not do. Amen. The medical people will tell you that it dulls certain parts of your senses. And then you begin to, in quote, misbehave. Okay, so today when we were coming to church, we saw one guy selling. He was not in the right mind, but he was selling wares by the roadside. He wasn't selling to anybody. He was just selling to imaginary customers. So I was explaining to them that guy, to you, is mad. But to him, he's doing something that he's getting instructions to do. So how did I know this? You're laughing. So someone is giving him instructions, and that's why he's doing what he's doing. Eh? So one day, I took my friend was, he hadn't slept in like three days. So he was beginning to misbehave and say different things. So we had to take him to Yaba Left. So when we go to Yaba Left, this is lack. So you have to, please learn to put a break and rest where you have to rest. Okay? So for 3 days, because he had deliverables, he was walking around the clock. And then his wife spoke to him. She spoke to him, it's like you speak to me about Muna, and I'm talking to you about that girl in Babcock, Oluwadari. There's no correlation, because we are here in Ogudu. Let me say, I'm sorry, I thought maybe you were talking about Desola, it will be okay. And then I'm talking about Muna, and I'm saying, okay, yes, Temilade, blah, blah, blah. So the one called me. They wanted to go to camp. Say, it's not a camp matter. Everything we will do in camp, we will do it in the spirit. Let's go. So when we got to the clinic, and the doctor was quizzing him, and he was still telling us he doesn't need anything. And even when he says he doesn't need something, the next 2-3 minutes, he's going to tell you something that's totally out of. So when he got to the doctor said, is somebody speaking to you? He said, no. Is somebody giving you instructions? That's how I know that when you see those people, Something else is giving it. They are definitely hearing. They are responding to something. Okay? Now, if you take too much alcohol, there's a problem. It will dull the senses that are supposed to give you control. And that's why one man, he went to nightclub, drove to his house, hooted, they didn't come out, and then he slept off. And the following morning, that's where everybody saw him. Another one, the wife called me and said, please, I'm looking for my husband. Blah, blah, blah. I've been calling him, he's not picking his phone, blah, blah, blah. I said, don't worry, he will come home. So eventually he came home. What happened? He said, when he left the nightclub, he felt like sleeping, so he parked on the road and he slept. So those things are not normal. Abi? So they are being controlled by the... And that's why the Bible tells us very clearly that kings are not supposed to touch wine. You just imagine that your king will come and he has touched wine and he's telling you different things. Is there no trouble? But look at the sentence that the Bible has said. He said, instead. That means that... So he's saying, do this one that is more profitable. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The first one will ruin your life. The second one will enable you, empower you, give you that boldness. Hallelujah. Amen. To do the things that you ordinarily will not do. Amen. So ordinarily, I won't see you and begin to tell you things that I don't know about, except the Spirit of the Lord reveals it. Amen. Except there's enablement or I perceive it, I will not be able to do that. Hallelujah. And he says, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says in Acts chapter 1, 7 and 8, that you will receive power. Power to do what? No, we're looking at Daniel 11, 32. It says, the latter part of it says that you'll be strong. Those that know their God, they'll be strong. And they will do great exploits. I used to think that they would do exploits. It's this evening that I saw that they will do great exploits. Because exploits in itself, you can commonize exploits. I mean, if somebody does a feat, you say, oh, what's that one? So anybody can do it now. But if that feat leaves your mouth open, you will not be able to say, what's that one? Hallelujah. Amen. I sense prosperity in the air. Hallelujah. And it's like that song. Oh, Oluwagbe, Loria, Yemi, Oh, baby, Oh, baby, sorry. You know that song? The hand of God is upon my life. It's going to see me to run. And it's causing me to fly. Hallelujah. It says the power, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Hallelujah. You know, it's going to be boring every time I come to you and I tell you the same story. Amen. I just tell you the same story. But when you go and tell people the same story about Christ, it's never boring. People never get bored. And when you back those stories up with your own testimonies, hallelujah. You know, sometimes when you open the Bible, this age and time, everybody has an answer for everything. They say, and that was then. You know, when you are correcting children and say, when I was growing up, I dare not do that to my father. They'll tell you that was then. That's you and your father. It's not now. And same way people will tell you that that's in the scripture. And remember that we say something. That the book of the Acts of Apostles never ended. If you go to the last chapter and last sentence or the last paragraph, you find out that there's a continuum. And that continuum is in you and I. Hallelujah. And what is that continuum? We start from the beginning where the book of Acts starts from. It says, you receive power. And then we become witnesses because we have been empowered. Empowered, enabled by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 2, And I read from verse 1. So in Acts 1, 7 and 8, that was a promise that you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Hallelujah. It says in Acts chapter 2 from verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come fully, we were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you give this in NLT? It says, and everyone present was filled with Holy Spirit. Everyone's present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. That is an enablement of the Holy Spirit. Though they were speaking in other tongues, tongues that they had never learned in their life. Amen. And it says what? The Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you suddenly think that you are able to do something, and say, I learned this skill, always remember that it has to be that this ability, okay, was given by the Holy Spirit. Because you are a new being and your whole life is controlled by the Spirit of God. Let's quickly look at something before we come back here to Acts chapter 2. Romans chapter 8. I said your whole life is controlled by the Spirit of God. It says Romans chapter 8, and I read from verse 9, NLT. Verse 9, it says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Hallelujah. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. Amen. So, if you don't have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, you do not belong to God at all. That's what the Bible is saying. So, you cannot lay claim to being controlled by the Spirit of God. The next verse. It says, and Christ lives within you. So, even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. Hallelujah. So the life that you are living now, is not an ordinary life. It's life that has been given to you by the Spirit. So that ordinarily, as one that has accepted Christ and is living in God, you have the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the next verse says that the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living with you, within you. Amen. Hallelujah. Meaning that what he was talking about before in verses 9 and verse 10 was practically, it was just referring and concentrating on your spirit man. That means your spirit man is being controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's why this verse 11 is saying that the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies. Hallelujah. Don't forget, he has been talking to you in verse 9 and verse 10, saying that you are being controlled by the Spirit. That's you that he was talking to. Don't forget, man is made of the body, the soul, and the spirit. Amen. So the first you that he was talking to your spirit. In verse 11, he's saying, he's leaving the Spirit and saying that, look, Man is a complete being when you talk about the body, the soul, and the spirit. So this mortal body, hallelujah, it will be quickened by the same spirit that lives within you. Amen. Meaning that if the spirit of the Lord, as long as the spirit of the Lord lives within you, this mortal body should be quickened. Amen. He says, because, and just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same spirit living within you. That's why I always tell you that once you internalize everything you are doing, from the inside comes your help. He says, it is this same spirit that is living within you that will give life to your mortal bodies. If you go to NKJV, this same verse in NKJV. It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Hallelujah. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Hallelujah. And you'll be witnesses. Amen. And now he's saying here that this same spirit that dwells on the inside of you gives life to your mortal bodies. Don't forget, this is School of Miracles. Miracles come from the inside out. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Hallelujah. Amen. So, where do you believe from? From within. Everything starts from within. From the spiritual, it comes to the physical. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go back to Acts chapter 2. So I was reading verse 3. It says, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those who were dwelling in Mesopotamia. And he kept listing them. And if you count, I think there were 13 of those people who were listening. He said, we hear in verse 11, he says, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexing to one another. Whatever could this mean? What did they hear them speaking in their own tongues? The wonderful works of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So they were there, and the Spirit came upon them, and he gave them utterance, ability to speak in other tongues. Hallelujah. And they were able to tell people. They were describing the wonderful works of God to other people. Hallelujah. So if you tie this chapter 2 to chapter 1, it says you will be witnesses to be in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in all the earth. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit has come, and now they are witnessing. And what are they witnessing? The wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. And if your internal environment is filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, once your spirit man is filled with the Holy Spirit, your spirit will talk to your body. It will release power to your body. And then he says, it will release life to your body. Hallelujah. Amen. But these wonderful works of God, they are the things that, I dare say, they are the things that we are able to tell people that God has done through us, or to us, or for us. Hallelujah. Whichever way it is. Amen. So when I'm talking to men, I say, God saves. I can boldly stand before and say, God saves. Hallelujah. Because I've seen it over and over again. Some people say, are you speaking? Like there's one guy, he's always saying, are you speaking belief or claim? You know when you want to cause confusion? You see, is that a belief or a claim? So I say God saves, He delivers. I can boldly tell you, hallelujah, and I'm not going to bore you again. You, because you are the child of God. That's where we started from, Abby, in Romans chapter 8. I think that's where we started from, Romans 8, 9. Because you are the child of God, you have the Spirit of God. Because that Spirit has helped you. Hallelujah. And you're in the fold. Amen. That Spirit lives on the inside of you. But you see, you need to transmit that Spirit to your body. If you go to verse 11, because ordinarily, because the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, does not mean that all is well with your body. Amen. Except you are able to what? Tap into it. So if power is made available and we don't switch on the light, there's power, but there won't be light. Amen. I'm not trying to cause any confusion. I'm saying that with the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you need to activate that Spirit so that it will vitalize your body. You know, I've been ill before. I've been ill, I think some years back, I was ill and I went to the, I was in the hospital. I had terrible stomach cramps. Terrible one. I couldn't stand straight. And I was taken to the hospital and there was nothing that they didn't try. And the cramp refused to go. I was just on the bed. And when the cramp comes calling, do you understand what cramp is? Are you sure? It's these people that can understand cramp. It's the other side that can understand cramp. You people who understand it. You know when ladies are speaking and they talk to you, they give them anesthesia, epidural. How many men can understand? Except you have gone through it. So the things that you have gone through, don't worry. So the day they gave me epidural on my back, I lost the use of both legs for about 8 hours. I was just there. The man was talking to me, said, when I give you this, you will not feel your legs again. But when it's wearing out, you begin to feel yourself. He said, in fact, when it's wearing out, you tell me that you want to go to the toilet. He said, you want to urinate. I said, okay, no problem. So I had a cramp, and it was terrible. It would come and go. I was just there on the bed. And then I just looked, I said, I will continue like this. Unless I tell God that I want to get out of here. Because, you know, when they come, the attention, they begin to tell you different things. Is this one? So I just shut down. And then in the middle of the night, when the crown came calling, I suddenly remember that if that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of you, is able to give life also to your mortal body. In the middle of the night, around 2 a.m., my wife was, she spoke with me, I said, I'm not feeling any better. And then I come provoke in the Spirit. Abi, don't be so there, talk about, I provoke. And I spoke, I said, look, you have to stop disturbing me. I'm done with this. I was speaking to my boy, the cramp. I'm done with this and I need to get out of here in the morning. So you must stop. And then the thing stopped. And then I was worried that I was not having cramp again. And then I suddenly remember that, but I just spoke to it. So I got up. I went to the restroom. I came back. Early in the morning, 7 a.m., my wife was in the hospital. She said, what up? I said, this is what happened in the night. I said, don't worry, they'll come around and they'll discharge me. I went home. And since that time, but if you do not provoke in the Spirit and speak the right words, that's why I read Mark 11, 22 to 24. You have to activate it, and that activation comes from you speaking. But the boldness to speak must be that you understand that you carry and you carry an enabler on the inside of you, the one that gives ability to do things. Amen. So don't forget, when you learn a skill, and you think you know how to do it, is the one that gives you the ability. This ability to do things. You know, this Acts chapter 2 says, they're talking of the wonderful works of God. And one of the things that occurred to me is that when you have a skill, or you have something doing, you have a skill, and you're able to do it, it's because God has enabled you. So always remember the story of Oholiab and Bezalel, that the Spirit of God was upon them. They were craftsmen. But I mean, the Spirit came and said, look, excellent Spirit from God. And they taught other men. Okay? Now, if you are able to do something differently from other people, you are able to tell people that, see, come and see the wonderful work that my hand has made. These are wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. I'm saying that everything and anything at all that God has a part in is that wonderful work of God that we are talking about. Hallelujah. Most especially, you need to take charge of everything about you, about your body, about your soul, and about your spirit. It says that your spirit is controlled by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And that spirit dwells on this side of you. And it says, if that spirit dwells, and that's why I'm saying that, if it's there and you don't activate what is there, your mortal body may suffer. Amen. Nobody may just suffer. So some weeks back, I was not feeling fine. I wasn't feeling fine at all. I just felt that there was something wrong with my stomach. So I went to the clinic, and that was the Thursday that Mr. Sajiri was supposed to speak. And I came back from the clinic, and then I was told him, Mr. Sajiri, Pastor Sajiri was supposed to preach. Huh? When we were coming, in the car, I was throwing up. I threw up. Where did I throw up? I threw up before entering this Ojata Road. And then when we parked again, I threw up again. And then Divine came and said, Oga, I cannot preach. You know, ti pa ti kuku. You know that song? By fire, by force, we must preach. And I could not stand. I could barely stand. But immediately I finished throwing up, God said, you are the one that will take service. So I hope you know this one that you are throwing up. You are the one that will. I said, but it's divine that scheduled to take service. He said, you are the one that will take service. I said, okay. So when he came to me in the car, the pastor, I don't want to preach you. I said, no, you are going to preach. He says, you have to be in season and out of season. I said, no, you are going to preach. No, he went back sad like the rich young ruler. And then when he was going, I was laughing because I knew that he was not going to preach. But I didn't tell him. I said, you are going to preach. When did I tell you that, don't worry? I think it was when you were doing praise and worship. So all that praise and worship that he was doing that day, he was not doing anything. His mind was upside down. He said, this man is wicked. I was just laughing. And yet, I was like, God, I'm weak. I'm tired. I don't have any strength to carry out this task. He said, you're going to preach. So when I sat here, and because I was still telling God that, that's why I didn't tell him. But when he said the last one, bam, you're going to preach, I just told you, I said, forget it. I just said everything, and don't worry. So I came up, and I preached until he told me, stop. I said, see, I'm preaching. And then my body, if you go and watch that video, you will see it in that video. You have to look very well, as if you are looking for, what's that good ultimate search. You have to look, see very well, say, where did this man buckle? And then, 2 weeks after, that man came here. And he mentioned that condition that I went to treat in the hospital. I was just laughing. He mentioned it. He said, don't worry, you went for this. I never told him. And up to today, I never told him. This one now, if he hears it now, I say, this man, I never told him. But you see, why did I go to the hospital? Because the Holy Spirit said, go. I was in the office. They were talking in the office. They were talking. He nudged me and said, "You need to listen." And when they were done, I went to the person that was in charge. I said, "I need to go to the clinic. There, you can go in September." I said, "I need to go now." And the person said, "Okay, don't worry, blah, blah, blah." And the following day, the doctor called me, and 2 days, I went to the clinic. And thank God I went to the clinic. Amen. The spirit, if the spirit is on the inside, and you are not activating the spirit, you are not going to be able to tell of the wonderful works of God as it relates to you as a person. When we tell people about Christ, the risen Christ, you have to give them a proof that he has also enabled you. Hallelujah. And this is how much of enablement that I have. Amen. The school of miracles. Miracles come from believing. These signs shall follow them that believe. And it comes from the inside. That ability that we have, you need to key into it. Things don't look right. Things are not going right. But there's an enabler on the inside of you. And say, this is how they say we should do things. Don't worry. When the enabler on the inside of you comes and tells you how to do it, you will be doing great exploits. Do you get what I'm saying? When the enabler on the inside of you tells you that this is what to do, because we are not praying in vain. And we do not know God in vain. Hallelujah. We know him so that we can tell his wonderful works. Because we have that power from the Holy Spirit. And so when he begins to tell you the things to do, and when people say, what's this one doing? Just like when they told Noah. Say, what's this one doing? When he begins to tell you, don't doubt him, do it. This is the season of prosperity. Hallelujah. Body, soul, and spirit. But you see, you have to take care of the spirit first. And that's all these things we are doing. You have to take care of the spirit, because once the spirit is controlled by the Spirit of God, that residual and that inhabitation by the Holy Spirit is to your advantage. And then you begin to change things around you and things for the better. When you go in to pray, or when you go to pray, don't leave without an instruction on what to do. Because he comes with an enablement. Hallelujah. So an encounter with the Holy Spirit comes with an enablement. Hallelujah. And they are building blocks that will take us to where we are supposed to be. Amen. Don't forget, God deals with us. God has seen the end. So he's dealing with us with the end in view. In the end, from the end perspective, we are the ones that are trying to get to the end. God, this is where God is. We are the ones that are here trying to get to where God has already put us. Amen. And you have to follow the Holy Spirit. It says you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in all the earth. Let us rise on our feet. Let's just talk to God. Thank him, because you know that on your inside, there is a Noah. Hallelujah. And no longer will you allow the Noah just be there without connecting with the Noah. Hallelujah. Every time, every now and then is an opportunity to connect with the Noah. And every now and then is an opportunity to use that ability that you have been given by the Holy Spirit to cause changes in your environment. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. No longer shall there be lack in our midst. Hallelujah. No lack. There won't be lack of knowledge. There will not be lack of wisdom. There will not be lack of what you do. Hallelujah. But because we have him that knows the mind of God. Hallelujah. We know what to do per time. And we do it. Father, we give you all the praise. We magnify you. Thank you, Lord, because we see your hand in all that we do. And indeed, we will tell of your wonderful works because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly God, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.